Yo, you already know what it is, man. It's your boy, Ain't Off for the Streets. Welcome to the Ain't Off for the Streets podcast. We got a special guest in the podcast today. You feel me? We got one of the pioneer of the NFT game right now. Shout out to Seth Dyer. He's in the podcast right now. Shout out to him. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm here, man, feeling good, tapping into something new and hoping to teach people something. So let's do it, man. Super
Yep.
lit.
Facts. I had to get you in the podcast, 'cause one thing I realized, when somebody's tapping into something, we definitely gotta give them the spotlight, the space for them to kind of like open it up for everybody to kind of like, okay, great, what's going on? You know, 'cause everybody's looking at what's with this whole NFT thing. You know what I mean? They're looking, they're hearing about it, but they don't know what it is. It's kind of like Bitcoin when Bitcoin first came out. People didn't know what the hell it was. You know, that's what I feel like this whole NFT thing is about. But before we dive in into all that, right, I wanted to get to know a little bit more information about you. So tell the people a little bit more about you, your name, where you're from, and what got you into music.
So Seth Dyer, once again, is my name. I'm from Toronto. I was born and raised here. Born at Mount Sinai Hospital. I originally started my career as a rap artist, but now I make more R&B music. I still sprinkle in some rap stuff here and there, but I'm mainly an R&B act now. Music kind of, I was always a creative kid. So like in kindergarten, we had an assignment maybe where like we had to write a little story and draw a picture. And I just spent time only drawing the picture. You know what I'm saying? Didn't write no words. Or in high school, I was like inclined to like drawing and animation. I wanted to go work for Disney. I wanted to go do animation for Disney. But then when I was in high school, music hit me and I learned to produce. And then I was producing all these beats. And I'm like, man, I don't think people are going to say what I want them to say on these beats. So I started writing. And I was always like a musically like poet inclined kind of kid, right? So yeah, I started writing onto my own beats. I learned how to record myself. I had a summer job through a Boys and Girls Club. I had a summer job and I saved all that money and bought my first little bit of studio equipment and learned how to record myself and start learning to mix and master. So I produce, write, record, mix, master nearly all of my music.
Oh wow, oh, so you kind of like Russ, you know? Russ be saying he does. He makes a master, record himself. He pretty much do the same thing. That's dope when you have those type of talents. You really don't have to rely on anyone. You know what I mean?
I mean,
So.
I always had like a very self-reliant attitude towards it because I started so young. I didn't have no money, you know what I'm saying? Like I didn't have no money to go to the studio and get recorded. I didn't have no money to have records mixed, etc. So I had to figure out like I want to make music. I'm not going to let anyone tell me no. How do I figure out how to do this? Right. And then you go on the path and then it just builds a self-reliant attitude, which is good, but you do need a team. You always need a team because I did so much alone and got to a certain level alone, right? But now it's at a level where it's like I need to involve people. Can't do everything yourself, you know?
You're right. You're definitely right about that. So do you feel as an artist, as other artists as well, do you feel like they should learn how to record themselves, even mix and master themselves?
I do. And that might take some money out of my pocket, but I do because I work as an engineer as my day job. But I do believe that it's important for artists to at least have a decent little knowledge about recording yourself and a little bit about mixing so you can speak the same language as your engineer. You know what I mean? I recorded Tory Lanez one time. And it was crazy because like he could speak the same language. He could say EQ this. He could say, I need my reverb like this. I need to auto-tune at this speed. He could communicate. It made it way most efficient guy I've ever seen, bro, honestly. And it's because he has a knowledge of it, you know.
Oh, wow, that's dope. That's dope. So you're right. So being able to speak the engineer language, it kind of make things more efficient for the artist as well, right? That's dope. That's dope how you do all that, because being an artist is really expensive, you know, because I work in the promotion game. I help artists with marketing, and I do realize, like, just to put out a single, you end up spending up to like $5,000 for a single. When it comes to
Whoa.
recording the song, paying the engineer, and once it come out the studio, you have to pay the directors to shoot the video, pay the stylist, and once you get that, then you have to pay all these promotion and marketing, Google ads. By the time you promote one single, you're already $5,000 deep.
Yeah, and hopefully you get that back on streams. Hopefully, you know what I'm saying. And it's crazy. Like, you got to find ways to kind of reduce the initial costs. It's like running a business, right? If you're able to sew your own garments, for instance, or make your own garments and you sell t-shirts, you know what I'm saying? You're reducing your costs, right? Yeah. Like, you need it's almost like having your own gym to practice ball in. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get more reps than everyone else.
Facts. Yes. You're right about that. So, knowing how expensive music is that why you felt like you had to kind of like learn a lot of things by yourself, such as producing and engineering by yourself? So you have to cut.
Yeah, for sure. Because like I said, like growing up, I didn't really have jobs like that. I didn't have money like that, right? Yeah. So, and I wanted to make music, so I had to figure it out. And then it just came to a point where I'm like, okay, I can actually do this myself. Like, I learned enough, you know. I spent a lot of time just learning how to properly do it. I'd say like it was probably like 7 years before I was at 7 or 8 years before I was actually good enough. And I got hired as an engineer. When I got hired as an engineer is when I realized, like, I actually know what I'm doing, right?
That's really dope. Yeah, that's good. That's really dope. So, how would you describe the type of music you typically create and stuff?
Well, I would say now it's very R&B, and R&B in the sense of, like, classic R&B, like 90s R&B, like Blackstreet, Maxwell, D'Angelo, Neo Soul. Type mm-hmm. of vibe, you know, but still modern, right? And then when it comes to the rap stuff, I would say I was always someone who was very I emphasized the writing aspect of it. So I'm someone that was very like bars were very important and saying cool things, you know. And I kind of mixed the singing in it. Yeah. But I would say like there's some rap records I have that have a more like classic rap 90s feel, and some stuff that's more like today's trap kind of vibe, you know.
Okay, dope. So like, what I want to ask you, like, what inspired you to make music? Like, who inspired you? Did you have like growing up, did you have an artist that you looked up to? You'd be like, you know what, I could do what this guy could do. Like mm-hmm. you know, what did your parents listen to when you grew up?
It's funny, so I'm Jamaican, right? My parents listened to a lot of reggae music, right? So I had Bob Marley in the house, had Baris Salmon, had like a lot of reggae music, right? And they listened to a lot of soul too. So like Curtis Mayfield, Barry White, that type of stuff, listened to a lot of soul music. But then I was looking over some like old birthday tapes that I had when I was like really little, and there was hip hop playing. My mom had Nas playing. My mom mm-hmm. had Biggie playing and stuff like that. So it's like a cacophony of those type of influences put together within me. I'd say like my music was definitely inspired by life experiences for sure. When I was really young, I was in the hospital with a near-death disease, mm-hmm. right? I had chicken pox like every other kid, but I also got infected with flesh-eating disease at the same time. So I was quarantined from all the other kids, and like, and I was very young, like 4 or 5 years old, right? So I managed to survive that. And then that gave me a different outlook on life. It's like, bro, you could be gone tomorrow, you know? And the fact that I got that experience so young, it kind of set an outlook for me on life, right? Like, you have to make something happen, you know what I'm saying? Because you don't know what can happen tomorrow.
You're right. Yeah. That's dope how you had that outlook on life at an early age, you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. most people don't even take their life serious right now, and they old, you know what I mean? They haven't had experience to make them feel like, damn, my life. Because I see a lot of artists, they be going to jail left and right. They come out of jail and go back to jail. It's just, I feel like, damn, when are you going to realize how much your life is worth for you to stay mm-hmm. out of trouble, for you to make somebody out of yourself, you know what I mean?
It's a shame because, like, yo, I know a lot of dudes, they got one foot in, one foot out, you know, and the environment has built a certain character out of you. You got one foot in, one foot out. But, like, if you got charges and you got all type of things that make it difficult to travel and difficult to get things booked and stuff like that, it's very discouraging, bro. You trap yourself, you know what I'm saying? And I just hope that, because there's a lot of talent budding out of the city, a lot of talent in the streets, and I just hope that these guys are able to kind of settle the violence just for the sake of their own success, you know?
Yeah, you definitely right. And one thing, I like you said, Like, it would be dope if they could settle the, like, settle the violence and put it, like, lower the violence. But the thing is, sometimes it's not even the artists that be involved with the violence. It'd be the
It's
crew.
true.
It'd be the crew, the guys that don't rap, the guys that don't be in the studio. It'd be those guys that be really with the rowdy, the rah-rah, and trying to prove a point, you know, for the
Facts.
crew, for the gang, or whatever it may be. But besides that, I just hope a lot of artists, they realize, like, you had that outlook on life at an early age. They should have that outlook. Hopefully, you get that outlook. Maybe that's not the crew I need to hang out with. Maybe I need to, like, you know what I mean? Because people, like, you have control of your life. Ain't nobody else gonna make sure your life is good at the end of the day.
100%.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
100%.
So, another question I want to ask you: what is your creative processes like? I know you say you write, you do R&B, you rap. Do you mostly write your songs, or do you collaborate with other people when it comes to, like, putting music out?
So at first I like I said before, I work very solo. So I would like produce a beat, right, and then go record, right? Or I would get an idea for what I wanted to talk about, build a beat around that, write the song, go record. I was always like, I would always write though, you know what I mean? Now on the R&B tip, I will I'll produce something or have one of the producers I work with, mainly I work with this guy named S Dot. Right. He's been producing a lot of the R&B stuff. And what we'll do is we'll just like lay out melodies, lay out top line, right? Just sing little random things and then build words upon that and build the song out of that, but still writing. Like I'm not really like freestyling it because I like the writing aspect's important to me, you know. Like really taking the time to say like good things for me, yeah.
So what inspired you to write? Do you have, like, a relationship that inspired you to write? What kind of music do you really be putting out?
I'm in an amazing relationship. My girl is amazing and very supportive and like I draw a lot of inspiration from that and then even past relationships and stuff like that and just like life and different experiences I've gone through. I went through some crazy stuff a couple weeks ago and it's in the music now, so when that stuff comes out it like it's gonna connect a different way.
Yeah, dope. So your previous releases you have on your Spotify, so you pretty much wrote all those songs.
Every single one.
So do you ever, like, get writer's block where you feel like you can't write songs? You'd be like, damn, I don't even know what to write about.
Not really, because I feel like writer's block is really you kind of overthinking things. Writer's block is like your mind, your spirit telling you like you want to do something, but your mind is blocking it. You know what I'm saying? And you just need to stop thinking in a sense, you know, like even if you just say some random things on the microphone or just say some random voice note of just melodies or flows or whatever, you can build something out of that because you're kind of taking the thought process out of it. You just roll with what's natural. So, I mean, I haven't run into not being able to write songs for a long time. And I don't force anything. If it's not coming, I just don't do
Okay, dope, dope. That's a way, good way to look at it, right? Yeah, so just to go into the whole crypto world and the whole blockchain thing, right? So I see that you released a unreleased album on the crypto space as an NFT. Can you explain that to us? Let the people know what NFT is and what made you get into the space.
So I've been in the crypto space for a little while. Shout out to my homie Bong Bigga who introduced it to me and really made me believe in it, you know. But NFT is basically what's called a non-fungible token. So in order to understand that, it's easier to understand what something fungible is. So money is fungible. If you have a $10 bill, it can be interchanged for another $10 bill. Fungible basically means interchangeable, right? That's what fungible essentially means. If you have a $10 bill, you can get two $5 bills. They're interchangeable, right? But something that's non-fungible is not interchangeable. So if you have the Mona Lisa, right? The Mona Lisa is an original thing. Someone else can paint the Mona Lisa, but it's not the original. It's not interchangeable, right? So what the technology on the blockchain has been able to do with NFT, with non-fungible tokens, is essentially take a piece of art, for instance, a piece of digital art, put it on a blockchain, and the blockchain will tag it with an ID. That ID is what makes it verifiable, right? You could make one of one, boom, it gets tagged with an ID, and that thing is not fungible. There's only one of them in the world. It's in a digital space, so it's kind of difficult for people to understand, right? Because they're like, I could just get the file and copy and paste it and send it to all of my friends, right? But the file itself is not what you're buying. You're buying the verifiable ID on the blockchain, right? Yeah. So the value is not in the actual picture. You know what I mean? The value is in that ID on the blockchain that says it's one of one, and I have this one of one, right? So what NFTs have been able to do without all the techie talk, all I need to know is that it's created digital scarcity, which is trackable and traceable and verifiable by the blockchain. Mm-hmm. So that's essentially what an NFT is. It's easier to understand with art. What I did with my album is a little more complex. If you were just to upload a song, right? You could just upload a song as an NFT, right? And people can purchase that and have that verified ID on that song, and boom, they have that song. With an album, it's a little more difficult because most of these NFT marketplaces, they have file space limits, right? So if I was to put a whole album on it, it wouldn't fit. So I had to figure out some finessing and some finagling ways to actually give my album to people who purchase it. And yeah, that involves digital marketing and a whole bunch of other stuff, but yeah.
Okay, dope. So what really got you into the space? What made you want to release an album in that space?
Well, I just saw the long-term value of it. Like, if you're able to build a fan base, right, you can monetize them in different ways. So I know a little about digital marketing. So to make it simple, digital marketing is a funnel. So starts wide at the top, comes down like an upside down triangle, right? Starts wide at the top, comes down. So at the top of the funnel is where you're introduced to people. So like Spotify introduces you to people, Facebook ads introduce you to people, Upnext introduces you to people. That's the top of the funnel, right? Some people come from that funnel, from that top, they go further down. They check out more of your music and maybe they just stay there. You know what I'm saying? They just stay there and they're fans of your music. Some people go even further. They'll buy a t-shirt from you. They'll buy an album from you. And that's where you start entering the NFT space, right? Yeah. That purchasing group, right? So I saw in long-term value that I can put this NFT out. And as I build my fan base, because it's not like I'm the most popping act right now, right? But I know in the long term, building my fan base, that people will come back and look for this and see this as something that is valuable. It's like, oh, I can get one of 100 of something of Seth Dyer's as he's a bigger artist, right? And the value of it will increase. So I just look long term. I'm like, people might think like, yo, this doesn't make sense for you to drop right now because you don't have a big enough fan base, right? I'm like, I will. And it will be there for them when it's needed, you know?
You gotta believe in yourself, right?
Yeah. So that's what made me do it, just kind of setting up for the future, right? And I mean, I already sold one, and my NFT is not cheap because I'm offering a lot of value in it. So like what people have to understand, artists have to understand when they're selling something to a fan, like you really have to include a lot of value, more than just music. There's value in music, but music has become so devalued that people aren't used to like being like, this is a valuable thing. Right. So you have to give people more than music. My NFT, you get the album, you get 3 bonus songs that are never going to be released. You get 2 videos that are never going to be released, a whole bunch of behind the scenes content, plus discount on tickets for a lifetime. Those first 100 people, there will be a specific special group of people within my career. Those first 100, only them. Right. They'll get discounts on tickets forever. They'll get discounts on merch forever. Anything I do, they're going to see it first. They're going to get it first. Anything I have in terms of offering value, those first 100 people are going to get it first. So I look at it as a long-term value thing. You might spend 0.5 ETH or something on it, right? Which is about 1K, but in the long run, it ends up being way cheaper because you got all these discounts and all this other value that you would have had to pay for. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one thing I wanted to ask you, right? Because you says 0.17 ether, right? So let's just say, does the price will go up? Let's just say the cryptocurrency goes up in the value. Would the price goes up as well?
Right. So what I'm doing, now, because like, I don't want it to hit like $2,000 to sell. Right. So at the time when I dropped it, 0.7 ETH was about $1,000. So now Ethereum's gone up in price. I dropped the price of the NFT to like 0.62 ETH. So it stays the same price point. Right. Because I don't want Ethereum to go up and then 0.7 ETH is like $5,000. And then I'm like, this is not realistic, you know?
You're right about that. If somebody buy it at this price you have it right now and it goes up in value, so does theirs goes up in value, or even if you change the prices, it still remain the same price?
It'll go up in value. So if they bought it at 0.7 ETH, right? Yeah. And at the time 0.7 ETH was $1,000, right? They spent $1,000 on it. The price of Ethereum goes up, their $1,000 turned it into $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, right? So because they're not gonna resell it at a price lower than they bought it, right? And the value of the NFT goes up as the price of Ethereum goes up. So that's one way you build value. Another way that you build value is just in the sheer success of my career. So as I become a larger and larger artist, the want for that NFT, that original 100 NFT, is going to become higher. As you become a hot commodity as an artist, the value of the things that you have are exclusive, right, are going to become higher. So not only did you build money on it for the price of Ethereum going up, you built money on it as the artist you invested in gets further along from your investment. So it's like two ways to build even more wealth, right?
So that person, whoever bought that NFT, could always sell it back to somebody else at a higher price?
Yes. Yeah. And what's crazy about NFTs is there's a built-in royalty. You can build in a royalty to it. So as an artist, right, I can say when somebody sells this, I collected 10% royalty on that sale. So let's say someone bought it for $1,000, they sell it for $2,000, right? I get $200. The next person sells it for $5,000, I get $500. The next person sells it for $10,000, I get $1,000.
Wow, yeah.
In perpetuity, so forever. Which is amazing, because let's say you're a painter, right? And you sell a piece of art in the real world. You sell a piece of art. When somebody buys that art and then sells it again, you don't get a royalty on that. So if they bought your art for 1 million and then sold it for 5, you don't see any of that 5 mil, right? The blockchain has allowed it that you can have a perpetual royalty on it forever, which is amazing. Now, the only thing to figure out now is intellectual property in terms of that, because it's like, how do you track that? Like the people involved get paid properly and the intellectual property is like honored and your rights don't get trampled upon. But there's ways to do it. You need like a coder and all type of madness, but there is ways to do it. But right now the platforms haven't made it like simple, but it is possible. So that's something I need to look into with like someone who knows how to code the blockchain.
That's really dope how you tapped into the market early on as an independent artist, right? Because a lot of artists are looking into it, but not everyone is jumping onto it, right? So Tory Lanez just had one right recently. From what I've seen, like I seen it on the next page and we posted it. I'm like, oh, that's dope. And the scene that he sold $350,000 worth of NFT, I'm like, whoa, that's dope. And I just seen Killy just drop an artwork.
I saw that,
Well, too. So I'm seeing a couple artists, you know, getting accustomed to the new technology.
And if you have a fan base, you will make money on NFTs because it's them. Your fans value you, and there's certain fans that are super fans that want whatever you do. You know what I'm saying? They want whatever you do. So they'll purchase it. The fact that Tory made $350,000, that doesn't surprise me. I only imagine, like, because I think Drake with this last album, he's out of a deal, right? So he's a free agent. Bro, if he released an NFT after that deal is finished, do you realize how much money he would make? Like, his fan base is enormous. Just think about how much people spend on tickets to see Drake. Tickets, front row tickets. Bro, do you realize how much they would spend for exclusive music to say they have this? The man would make like 10 mil.
I was just about to ask that question as well. I'm like, yo, Drake would make like 10 mil releasing an NFT. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, So do you feel like, I feel like NFT is kind of like when Napster came out with this whole file sharing, you know what I mean? This, it kind of like disrupt the whole music industry and kind of give power to the artists. So do you feel like the whole NFT thing is kind of giving power to the artists instead of just leaving it to record labels to make all the money?
Right now it is, because it's the Wild West, right? It's new, it's the Wild West. So people who are independent are going to be able to build value out of that, right? But eventually the labels are going to get involved, right? And they got big money, they'll get involved, they'll figure out how the rights work, and they'll figure out how to do it, because they're not going to miss out on it, especially if they're signing artists, right? And then those artists are releasing music on the blockchain and they're not seeing a piece of it, they're going to figure it out,
They
right?
figured
But
out.
right now it's the Wild West. And if you have a fan base, what people have to remember is that don't just jump into it just because. I released mine the way I did because I'm thinking long term, right? But like, if you don't think fans first, like if you don't think build a fan base first, you're not going to sell anything. You know what I'm saying? Because if people just know about you but aren't invested enough in you, and you haven't built a good enough relationship with your fans, they're not buying nothing from you. I think artists could learn a lot from YouTubers. YouTubers are like, they are forced to be super consistent. They build relationships with their fans. People like that watch YouTubers, they feel like they're
Part of the life, yeah.
part of it, invested in it. You know what I'm saying? They're not too cool. They're not too cool for school. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're more vulnerable. They know how to just make a fan base, right? And that's why someone like, what's his name? Logan Paul, Jake Paul, whatever. Logan Paul. That's why he was able to sell so much, right? He's a YouTuber, and artists would do well to learn from that. Even someone like Russ, who how he released a song a week, that's a YouTube approach to music, right? And that's what I'm about to do. I'm about to go so ham, so hard with just constant releases, constant content, constant interaction, that like it has to go. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely
And yeah,
right.
so that's the way I'm looking at it. Like, think like a YouTuber, bro.
You
Put
right.
in the YouTuber work.
That's a good way to think about it, right? Like YouTubers, they go hard. They be dropping videos every day. Just like my guy, We Love Hip Hop. These guys drop content every day around the clock. I'm like, damn, I cannot compete with these guys because like these guys out there dropping content. I work a 9 to 5, so. Just coming home trying to do these, even doing this podcast, doing these type of things, these things are hard for me. I have to like, but I have to put in the work if I want to see any type of, you know what I mean? Any type of things coming out of it, right? So
It's
as an
true.
artist, you really have to be super consistent to really see anything coming out.
It's very true, because the internet, the more I learn and the more like I've been in, I mean, we've all been in the internet space for years. I mean, we're young, you know, like we've been in the internet space for years. And what I've learned about how the internet works is if you don't have the money to do something, right, you just have to do more than everyone else. So you have to make more content than everyone else. You have to interact more than everyone else. You have to do the most, right? And that's why there's certain artists that some might consider less talented that will outwork the artists who are more talented and go further, because they're doing more.
More,
They're being
more.
more, they're putting out more and more
Yeah, and
content.
IG lives more, you know what I mean? Interacting with people more. So
They're likable. Like, you know what I mean?
yeah.
People build fan bases and their fans actually like them, you
It's
know?
facts. It's facts. It's just sometimes it's hard to even put yourself out there for people to judge you, you know, for people to have a say in it. That's why sometimes it's hard for me to even go on IG live. It's just because people. You thinking people follow you, everybody that follow you support you? Nah, there be haters that follow you, people that hate you.
Yeah,
People
you're right, you know. You're
that
right.
want you to fail that follows you. People that don't like you, people that don't like your face follows you. It's
It's
that.
true.
So that's the thing. That's the thing about this whole IG, this whole internet thing, putting myself out there. That's why I understand artists putting
Yeah.
them out there is not easy to
It's not
connect with.
easy.
To connect with people and just be vulnerable for people to judge you, you know?
And I would say this too, because there's artists that have been able to do like the secrecy thing, you know what I mean? But I feel like the secrecy thing, it costs more money, right? Because you have to market that secrecy, because the internet doesn't work off of secrecy anymore, like
Only
if
the
you
weekend got only the weekend was able to slip through
yeah
the
because and those guys and those guys they spent their money though, you know what I'm saying? Like they were able to get grants, they were able to maneuver, like they Belly's involved in XO, like Belly understands how these things work, you know what I mean? Cash, like these guys, they get it, you know. And in order to, I feel like in order to market a like more mysterious artist, it's either if your content's consistent, it's gonna have to be like consistently mysterious all the time, and you can execute that, or you're gonna have to spend money.
You have to spend money, man. That's one thing. That's one thing when it comes to artists. You need money. Even right now, I'm starting a little independent label. I invest, like just say I have $5,000 to invest in an album and including marketing. Once that $5,000 is done, it's pretty much nothing else I could do. You know what I mean? You stuck here. So that's why when I sign an artist, if I spend on 5 bands, like that's it, bro. There's really nothing else I could invest. Because now I gotta wait to, for my money to make my money back. You know what I mean? If I go over budget, like now we gotta do a next contract. Now I gotta say $10,000. Now I need the whole album. I need to own the whole album now. You know, I need to
You're right. And then when you start to understand those things, you understand why labels move the way they move,
trust
and
me.
like people get themselves in bad deals and stuff like that. But you understand, it's like if you run a business, the easiest way to look at it is like Shark Tank. It's like if you run a business and you need something and someone's putting up the capital, they're gonna expect something back. And if they put up all the capital,
Yeah,
you're not getting nothing.
nothing back. So I tell the kid I work with this artist. I'm like, yo, if I put the next 5,000, I'm gonna have to own the next 2, 3 videos you post. I'm gonna put them on my YouTube. I'm gonna own the album full out. And if I sell this album to the next label, this is my money. You're not getting nothing. So you gotta be willing to, if are you willing to risk all that? So.
It's like, yo, at what point is the artist gonna say, like, I'm gonna put some of my own money up? And if you're not putting some of your own money up, don't expect to get everything.
That's the
Unless
thing.
someone just unless someone is just like angel investor like that. Just like, here's the bread. Go ahead. Do what you want to do.
You're right. That's
Then
what
God's
the
really
artists
on your side.
that make. That's true. That's why the artists that make it far are the artists that invest in themselves as well. Because there's artists, I was watching a French Montana interview, right? And he was like, yo, I had this song, the label wasn't putting money for me. I had to cough $300,000 out of my own pocket to shoot the video. I had to cough up $300,000 out of my own pocket to promote the video and want the song. And when the song started blowing up, that's when he went back to the label, be like, look, the song is blowing up now. Give me my money back, you know? So I'm like, yo, sometimes that's what you gotta do. If a label give you if a label give you $1 million cash advance, which you gotta pay back anyways, that's a loan, right? Take some of that money, put it into your career. Your career
Yeah,
up.
bro. Don't be smart, fam. Don't go buy whips and chains and all that stuff
Yeah.
before it's your money. You know what I'm saying? Like, make sure you take some of that money and do something smart with it for your career and your life. Like, you
Facts.
know.
Facts. That's what I tell artists, man. Because at the end of the day, man, nobody gonna put you on but yourself. Only your work ethic, only the amount of money you invested, the amount of time you invested within yourself that's gonna put you up. You know what I mean? So that's like you said, like you were talking about having a team. Having a team helps sometimes, but coming up, you need to push yourself hard because you have to invest in yourself for other people to want to invest in you. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And they take it more seriously. They take
Yep.
it more seriously. They're like, yo, one thing that is it's I find it easier to judge someone's character when you put them in a position to make money or if you pay them for something, right? So like, let's say you put someone in a position to make money, you get them some kind of work, right? You're able to quickly see that person's character because money really exposes who people are, right? So I'm like, yo, I'm in a mindset like I'm able to do a lot of things for free. You know what I'm saying? And people believe in me and I'm able to do a lot of things for free. But sometimes I will just be like, let me put the sheets up for this just so I can know if I can keep you around. You know what I'm saying? Because when stuff gets even more massive, I need to know your character,
Yeah,
right?
facts.
So like putting people in a position to make money, I find is just like the easiest way to know to vet people on your team. Anyone that's on my team, I can break bread with them. You know what I'm saying? I can break bread with them. I could sleep on your couch if I needed to. You know what I'm saying? If I needed help with something, I know they could help me. It's like a brotherhood. You know what I'm saying?
That's good. At least you build a solid team, because building a solid team is not easy, man. People will come in, you break bread with them, and they start moving funny. They're not, then they start being inconsistent. You know what I mean? I'm like, what the hell's going on? And they start.
Yeah, it's rough. And like, that's why it's like, you got to really find people that believe in you. And it's not easy, because sometimes people try and force teams. And I tried to do that earlier on in my career. Like, I'm like, okay, I need a photographer. Are you the photography? Like, we can do this, you know what I'm saying? But if you don't believe in me, you're not about it. You know what I mean? Oh, you do this, you can be. And then it was, and it just took me like being consistent, putting out a lot of music and people seeing and stuff like that. So like from like 2016 to like 2018, I put out a lot of music, got over 2 million streams on Spotify independently, didn't spend a dime. It was just out of consistency. Every week I was dropping music. You know what I'm saying? And then people are like, oh, this guy takes this seriously. And then I found people that actually believed in it and were coming to me, right? Yeah. So that's important as well. Like, when you put the work in, people will notice.
Look, you know? Look right now. Look how you just released this NFT album. Mm-hmm. And I posted about it, right? And the next 2 days, I seen you release the album. I'm like, what the hell? I just posted about this. You feel me? Now that you tapped into the space right away, it pretty much opened the eyes of everyone else to check into your stuff, to give you free promo. You didn't have to pay me to promote the stuff. You didn't have to pay any other pages to promote the album. So you just got free promotion, free advertisement,
you know,
off you tapping into the space before anyone else. You know what I mean?
And the way I'm looking at my career now is I'm still going to put free music out, because you have like, the free things is how you really start building people on the top of that funnel. You know what I mean? But at first, for instance, something will come out on Spotify, but 2 weeks before, it's going to be on a blockchain first, right? And then whoever gets it on a blockchain is going to get a little something more exclusive, and then it'll come out on Spotify and Apple Music and all those places. So like blockchain, because I'm actually in the space and actually like care about it and believe in it for the future, that like, I want to incorporate the blockchain into my career as much ways as I can. And I have so many ideas, we don't got time for it, but like, I have so many ideas as to how to utilize the blockchain. Yeah.
The thing is, as much you want to utilize the blockchain and things like that, you also don't want to push the people that's not.
Exactly.
For the blockchain, the people that don't invest in crypto, people that just believe in cash and Spotify and move on with their life.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why, like, I still have to do all the regular things, you know.
Facts.
So
right now, some eyes are on you. You got people checking for you, because if this whole NFT thing you just dropped, you kind of have to like, okay, great, I got eyes on me. Let me see if I could drop a video. Let me drop a song for these people. Mm-hmm. Let me just keep these people's attention.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to become a blockchain teacher. I'm about to teach everybody about the NFT and you forget about the music. You kind of have to tap in. Because as much you just discover the space, you just put yourself in that space. You're very excited about it and people are excited for you. You know what I mean? Because one thing I realized, people could be excited for you, but not everybody gonna buy it. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So you gotta get the people that have the Spotify, the Apple Music, the Tidal, the SoundCloud, or even more, you could even start your own website, get your website up so you could sell music directly to these people. You know what I mean? Instead of putting on Spotify, and which is cool and all with the streams, but if you have it on your own website, you could sell an album for $10. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
you should definitely tap in with the attention you're getting and see if you could kind of make some income out of it as well, you know?
Yeah, and like, I see it as like I said before, I'm very realistic about my career. So like, I'm not like the most popping act yet, right? So I know that I have to like really put in the work and give people in order to actually build, right? And I look at like, I like someone like Joyner Lucas, who was able to like get signed, utilize the label to build an even bigger fan base, go independent and do all the proper things independently.
Yeah,
build email lists, build sales funnels, build ways to interact with his fans completely independent. He ain't complaining about nothing.
Yep,
he did it right.
Did it right. But at the same time, I feel like a lot of artists you wanted to get signed, but not understanding, as an artist, you're pretty much a small business, right? Because you could easily just register your business. Because once you're able to get income, you got money coming in from your engineer side. You got money coming in from you doing merch. You got money coming in from your streams. That's pretty much income coming in for your business. You could easily show the bank, hey, look, this is how much money I made, $100,000 for last year. Am I able to get a $100,000 loan?
No.
I mean, so you got to do that, because you got to look at it like that, because the bank is, I mean, the label is pretty much a bank when you think about it. It just borrows you money.
And if you got more control over it and you keep your rights,
Why not get a loan? Why not get a loan at the bank? Why not just like refinance your house and get a second mortgage?
Like the way I see it too is like everybody gets caught up on fame and popularity, but yo, there are some artists that nobody knows and they're rich.
They're rich.
That's like, because they did those certain things. I'm telling you, there's some artists that no one knows and they're touring and selling places out. You know what I'm saying? And it's just because they did that grassroots groundwork and fan building and interacting. Like there's lots of ways to do this. You know what I mean? The label system isn't for everyone.
It's not for everyone. It's just not a lot of people has patience, you know. So as an artist like yourself, even if you got 100 fans that support you, you can always grow that to 1,000, grow that to 2,000. So it's just about being the patient and being consistent and putting that quality of work. Because you don't want to just put out any work, anything.
No.
All that work definitely going to work. Yeah. But yeah, I wanted to ask you a question. So your recent release that you just dropped on NFT, so it's only going to be available on NFT. It's not going to go on streaming platforms at all?
Yeah, that particular thing is only going to be NFT. It's just going to be there. And then the rest of my music going forward will be coming out, right? But that particular thing is only an NFT.
So when are you planning on dropping new music then?
Jeez, ASAP. Maybe all next week.
No, that's exactly what I was saying. You've got to drop music next week for the people that's not on the NFT space. Because the NFT space is more for people who are the techie, with the crypto, with the Bitcoin and things like that. Those are people that's going to be really interested in that. Because regular person that's working a 9-to-5, they're like, why am I buying an album for $1,000? What is this? Yeah. What is it going to do for me? I don't got time for this.
Yeah, you have to be in the crypto. Yeah, you have to be in the crypto space to understand it. And like, not everyone is there and not everyone will be there ever.
Take time. That's why I tell you, instead of you relying on the streaming platforms as well, you definitely got to create your own Walmart, your own Amazon, create your website. And you see how you go on an NFT website to create this NFT thing. Do you have your own website at the moment?
Yeah, so I'll tell you what I did in order to combine the two. So when someone purchases an NFT, right, they go to my website essentially, where they have to verify. When you buy an NFT, it connects to an address, right? So they have to verify the address and put their email in, right? So then boom. So now I have their email. I'm able to follow up with them. Those people, and I can build funnels on my website, right? So like anyone that comes to the website, if they want to buy merch or album or whatever, right, they can buy that and I'll have that info, because like data is important. If somebody bought something from you, you want to be able to follow up with them. You want to be able to say thank you. You know what I'm saying? And actually, like, I actually mean that. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, you spent money on this. Thank you. And you want to be able to treat those people a little differently. The people that spend money with you, you want to give them different perks, different access, you know?
You're definitely right about that. So moving along, right? You see how like COVID affected the whole music industry. There's no performance venues at the moment. Clubs are not opening and things like that. But how have you been able to stay consistent and stay motivated to keep putting out music? Because right now, you don't know when the light at the end of the tunnel is going to come. You know what I mean? So how have you been able to stay motivated throughout these times?
Well, because music for me is within my soul. Like the way I look at it is that if music didn't have the potential to make you rich and famous, I would still make music. Okay. And I would have something else that makes me rich. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. I would still make music if it didn't have the potential to do all of these things. And some people are in music for only those things,
yeah,
right? So I don't need to be like, yo, the whole world shut down. I can't perform. Okay. But I can put music out. I can put content out. I could go live with my fans and talk to them. Right. It's just like music is just, it's just so much more important to me. I could work, you know, I could work 9 to 5. Right. And for my whole life, you know what I'm saying, and still make music.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I have to. That's the thing. Like, I have to. It's like a burning desire within me. I have to do it, you know? And that's how I stay like motivated. I just like, I'm just one of those people. It's in my essence, right? And that's why like I have armor built into stuff, because I put out music upon music upon music that nobody's heard, right? And then boom, all of a sudden 400,000 streams, 500,000 streams, 600,000 streams, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like perseverance, fam, because it's more than all of those things. It's more than all of the surface level things. It's my soul, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about this whole streaming business? Because I realized Drake just dropped like an album, 3 songs, and he already made like 9 million streams in 24 hours. But yeah, I calculate these streams, there's 9 million streams on Spotify. That's only like $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
9 million streams.
Yeah, it's wild.
Like, what do you feel about that? How, like, the streams doesn't create the amount of money artists should get? Like,
I feel like the model of the streaming business, when they built it, they didn't project far enough to understand the flaws in it. Because the more artists that end up on the streaming platforms, the less everyone can make. Because it's a pot, right? So, like, let's say, I'm not sure how many paid subscribers Spotify has, but let's say it's 1 million people, right? And guess what? Spotify is $10 a month. So $10 million they have, right? They need to pay everyone through that $10 million. Artists, staff, shareholders, all that stuff, they need to pay through that 10 mil. So the more and more artists that end up on it, right, and start making money on it, we have to pay them less and less. Right. It's a constantly depleting thing. Right. So that's the problem with it. Right. And I see like, yo, eventually 1 million streams on Spotify is going to be even less money. Tidal makes so much money because there's less people on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Less artists on it. And they pay more. They pay a higher royalty in general. But because there's less influx, they are allowed to pay. They're able to pay more. Right. And that's why. So it's almost kind of like it's a flawed system.
So why don't people promote with Tidal more than why don't artists promote Tidal? Be like, yo, check out my Tidal.
Yeah, because it's like first mover's advantage. Spotify was like first to the space. So they became the most popular. So everyone is there. It's like if Instagram is popping, right? If another platform similar to Instagram came up, it would be very difficult for them to pull market share from Instagram because they have first movers advantage, right? So I think that's what kind of happened with Spotify. Spotify became the most popular, and then Tidal came around. Tidal offers a lot of value, right?
Yeah.
But true, Spotify was just there first. It's like, yo, boom, everyone's over here.
So what do you see the future of music then, the future of music industry for artists? How do you feel artists can make an income? Like, beside the whole NFT thing, like,
I think artists
could, like, make income these days?
I think that there's going to be different tiers of artists. So there's going to be, like, superstar-level acts that are making millions of dollars, right? And usually you're going to have a label backing, right? There's going to be like a middle class of artists that are able to make 6 figures, right? But they're going to have to do a lot more work. So they're going to very much be like constant content, a lot of music to build up your catalog and stream. Like Russ is a really good example, bro. Like super good example, because it's just having so much catalog, having so much things to trigger the algorithm, right? That like, he has so much chances to be heard, right? So I think there's going to be a mid-tier of artists that if they put in the work, they'll be able to make money, and they're going to have to understand digital marketing. They're going to have to understand constant content. They're going to have to make good quality music.
So much. You know? Like you said, Artists gotta start looking at themselves as a YouTuber. That's the only
Yeah.
way, especially being independent, that's the only way they be very consistent in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they also have to tap into YouTube as well, you know? You know, so if they do turn themselves into a YouTuber, they will see a lot more income coming in because
Because there was, and you see, the thing is, it's just that sometimes people are too cool or it doesn't fit their brand. You know what I'm saying? They're like, I don't want to be on YouTube and talk on camera and like be like a vlogger. Like, you know, like they're like, I don't want to do that. But you can figure out what works for you.
works for you.
You can figure out what your consistent content is,
Even you being
because
in the studio, behind the scene videos, that could be
yeah,
the content.
it can be that simple. I mean, shoot, I remember, who was it? I think it was back when before G-Eazy was signed. What made me kind of like, I mean, to be honest, yeah, what made me kind of take notice to him was the content he was making consistently. Like he had all these vlogs all the time and like behind the scenes stuff all the time. And I'm like, yo, this guy's gonna go far, you know. And he got signed. You know what I'm
Fact, and
saying?
Machine Gun Kelly too. Machine Gun Kelly used to push a lot of vlogs on YouTube.
Yeah, like whatever you can give people weekly, like, you know, it whether it's, I think YouTube is great, which is why I'm going to start utilizing it a lot more. But like, you got to choose like your main and hit that. And
Yo,
I
trust me.
think going live with people is great too. Live, I find the people that tune into my lives and me just talking to them, it builds like a way better connection,
That's
you
how I
know?
was able to build with you, because I went alive. You know what I mean? But like I said, it's not easy going alive, man, because you just never know who's gonna come on that live.
Especially someone like you has a platform, bro. Like you said, like people are just gonna want to talk
It's
nonsense.
just be hating it. Yo, I'm telling you, especially in Toronto, if I was in a different market, it's different. But Toronto people just they hate. You know what I mean? You just never know. Like people really wanna like do bash it to you just because they don't like what you're doing. That's the energy the city
So
breeds.
weird to me, bro, because someone like you is actually benefiting
Nah, they
the
don't like
culture and the artists. Like it's so like, bro, you have a billboard downtown where people have the opportunity to get on that billboard. Like that's nuts. You're doing competitions and get like giving artists cash. Like what, how y'all not seeing what this man is doing? Like this is amazing.
Well, people hated Jesus, bro. So
Right, you know.
that's the thing, bro. It's just like trying to put myself out there. I'm like, bro, let me just hold back for a bit. Let me just do the little podcast, build up news, because Zoom is more like it's more intimate. You know, it's more people that want to be part of it. And so the live is just random ass haters. So I'd rather do the Zoom thing. So for now, until I get bigger and bigger, and I feel like I could do the live. You know what I mean?
I think you can do it, man. I think you get it. You know what I'm saying? And you're gonna build and you're gonna be one of the places that's important for artists in the
The
future
thing
to
is,
come
I
to.
could build. You're right, bro. Like right now, I'm already like to the point. Like I feel like I'm important, bro. But it's just like, it just there's a fine line, right? There's a fine line when it comes to this music business. There's a fine line. Helping artists and the fine line of making money from artists. So you don't want to be on a line of just making money, and everybody's looking at you as like a scammer, just doing shit. You know what I mean? So there's a└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└
But I think you're authentic though, bro. Like I
Yeah,
think that, yeah, I think that like what you do is genuinely authentic, you know? Like
oh, bro, I've been
you
out there.
actually care, bro, you
I've
know?
been out there, bro. I've been doing shows. It's been before COVID. But yeah, moving on to the questions. I don't want to hold you on for too long. So the next question I wanted to ask you, what has been your biggest accomplishment as an artist so far?
I would say when I was able to independently get a whole bunch of streams on Spotify and then like do shows and people actually know the lyrics to my song, that
Oh,
blew my mind away, bro. Like
that's crazy.
I was like, whoa, this is what superstars feel like. Whoa, like you can get used to this,
That's
you know.
crazy. That's
But
crazy.
the Spotify thing was really dope for me because like, yo, I had a lot of hate, like a lot of doubters. Like even it's funny because I got a job as an engineer, right? And when I got the job as an engineer, my music, what it was decent, but it still wasn't as good as it could be, right? And you always have to progress. So the people there, they always used to tell me my music sucked. They're like, yo, you're trash, you should quit. your music sucks, blah, 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 you know, but I got thick skin, so I'm okay. And I'm very self-critical. So like I was okay. And then I just learned, got better, was around people that were better than me, mm-hmm. right? And I made better music and it caught, bro. I had a song on a playlist next to Daniel Caesar and Tory Lanez and her, you know what I'm saying? That thing pulled in, that thing is at like 500K now. When I got my first 100K out of that song, I was like, whoa, wow, this is actually doable. Then the next one was doing the same numbers. I was like, yeah. And then those same people, they're like, yeah, we work with Seth. These are his numbers and you should work here.
That's how people are, man. They never really support it in the beginning. Yeah. When up there, when you make it, that's when they start flocking. Mm-hmm.
And I get it, though. I get it. I'm not like the thing with me. I don't get mad at that stuff because I understand it, yo. I understand it. Not everyone understands. Like some people only understand what makes sense now.
Yeah.
Right. True. And luckily, I'm around a lot of people. They don't really think about today. They think about 5 years from now. Yeah. I think more today than them. You know? Yeah. So, yeah.
But yeah, next question I wanted to ask you, right? So, what accomplishment? What goals do you have? Like you wish to accomplish in the future? Mm. What are some big goals you wish to accomplish?
I'd say just my like ultimate goal is just to build a fan base that cares enough for me to live comfortably off of my music.
That's all that everybody wants, man. They just want to live comfortably, man. Want to travel to the islands, go to Bahamas.
Just want to be comfortable. Like I said, I don't have to be famous, you know. I just have to be comfortable.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, what message do you have for your supporters today?
I would say take risks, guys. And when you start things, at first they might not be as amazing as you want them to be, but keep going. You know, people might doubt you, keep going, right? And really, really work on developing yourself. You know what I mean? Really work on being the best version of yourself you can be. That's like a message throughout my music, just to like self-development, bro. Like in as many aspects of your life as you can, as long as you're improving, you're living life properly. Yeah.
All right. Say less. My last question that I have for you, you know, you answer all the questions very truthfully and honestly. It's the last question I have for you, right? So what advice would you like to share with your supporters on how to keep going and staying positive? Because we're going through some troubling times right now. Mental health is like, that's one thing I realized about what's going on. The news barely talk about mental health. They barely talk about depression, people going having suicidal thoughts and things like that, anxiety. They never talk about how to improve your immune system and take care of it. What advice would you like to tell people to keep going and staying positive throughout these crazy times?
I would say the first thing, take health very importantly. Physical and mental. I'm a health guy, like super health. I've studied a lot about just like health, eating, vitamins, like all type of things, immunity. Take your health very seriously, because without health, you cannot have wealth, fam. Like if you're sick and rich, you're not really rich. You know what I'm saying? You can't enjoy it, right? And yo, mental health is important. Like, yo, if you need therapy, yo, go try and get therapy. There's free ways to get therapy, etc. And I'll say this, we as Black people, right? Yeah. Therapy is a stigma for us. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And like, bro, it could help you. I haven't been to therapy, but I know people that it's assisted, right? And it's very important, bro. Like we should take that seriously.
Definitely, man. Yeah, it was a dope conversation having with you today, man. Like for real.
100%, bro. I'm sure we both learned some things.
Facts. I learned a lot. I've been learning a lot about NFTs from podcasts. I learned about it from Gary Vee. That's how I actually found about it. Gary Vee came on this podcast, Earn Your Leisure. You should definitely check out Earn Your Leisure podcast. Yeah. Came on there and he was talking about, this is what you guys need to watch out for, NFTs, there's digital tokens and all these things. I'm like, what?
What is all this?
Shit. Let me go Google NFTs. I'm like, how do I invest in this shit? How put my money in? So I've been tapping in, but I'm the type of person, I don't invest in things right away. I do my studies, see what's going on, watch a couple YouTube videos, Google
Research.
a couple things, learn, do I do my research till I feel like, great, if I do this, this is what I'm gonna get. All right, let me tap in now. Let me invest into this market. You know what I mean? So that's why I feel like even anybody that's gonna be listening to this podcast, do your research first. Don't just like just because Seth did it, you have to do it as well.
Yeah, research, bro. And I researched, fam. Like, cause like I said, I've been in the crypto space. I've been learning about these things, right? And you, it's important to research, fam. And at the end of the day, remember, fans come first. Think about fan base first. Think about fan base first. You don't just have to make an NFT.
Yeah.
Think about fans first. Get that, then make an NFT. My long-term thinking is a little different, but fans come first. That's the most important thing I say to artists. Fans come first.
Yo, big facts, man. You're not lying, man. I appreciate you coming into this podcast. We had a dope conversation. Hopefully, we'll be able to reconnect again and teach the people more about the NFT space so more people could get accustomed to the space. You know what I mean? So thank you very much. What I wanted to actually like, let the people know where they could find you, your social media, your Spotify, where they could actually buy this NFT thing from you as well.
Yeah, so my Instagram is at SethDyer_EV. So that's SethDyer_EV. It's the same thing on Twitter. My YouTube is SethDyerTV. And you can check the NFT on Rarible. But if you click the links in my Instagram or Twitter, it'll bring you straight there. You can check the NFT. If anyone has any questions about anything, DM me, fam. I'm talking to everyone.
I say less, man. It was dope to have you on this podcast. Thank you very much for everyone that's tuned in. Make sure you guys follow us on Instagram as well. Up Next, subscribe to our mailing list on upnext.com. Thank you very much for tuning in. Have a good night.